Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, cervical cancer, healing the body naturally. According to the Centers for Disease Control, over 12,000 women are diagnosed with cervical cancer in the United States, and over 4,000 women die every year. Yet conventional medicine says that if caught early, it can be successfully treated. And the key thing to do is, get this, a Pap test. As insane as this may sound to the health-conscious person, conventional wisdom suggests that a Pap test and the HPV vaccine are the best ways to prevent cervical cancer, with no mention of diet and lifestyle interventions needed. Now, I'll just make myself perfectly clear. I know if you go to the conventional websites, you'll find some mention of diet and exercise or yada, yada, yada. But the point is, in this sentence that I just brought out, all they mention is a test and a vaccine, and never utter a word about diet or lifestyle. To me, that's shameful. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, I'll introduce you to a woman who at the age of 29 was diagnosed with malignant cervical cancer after two conclusive Pap tests. She committed herself to natural healing protocols, confident that she could improve her immune system, calm herself down, and eventually completely heal herself. How did she do it? And more importantly, what can we take away from this interview to improve the quality of our life? Cancer is often described as a life-changing experience by those successful in healing the body. This show promises to provide you with hope, inspiration, and the tools needed to thrive after being diagnosed with cancer. But before we meet our special guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me in welcoming Jill Schneider to our show. Jill, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
It's great to be with you, Jill. It really is. And when you were first diagnosed with this malignant cervical cancer, I mean, for most, the average woman out there, I mean, anybody for that matter, that's a really scary thing. I'm curious, what was the first thing you did?
Well, I actually, in the moment after the doctor told me that there were two conclusively malignant tests that had been done, I can remember taking a deep breath, and I wanted to say to the doctor, and I think I did actually, I said, I would like to just hold off before you do anything invasive. I have some ideas on my own. I would like to do some natural protocols. And he looked at me like I was from another planet. And he literally walked out, slammed the door, and that was like within 10 minutes that all happened. And after that, I went home. I did a little meditation. There was some part of me that just felt like it would be wrong at the age of 29, hadn't had a child yet. It would be wrong for me not to explore and do some research on this before I let them do anything invasive. And they were wanting me to go to the hospital and to actually, they mentioned the word hysterectomy as a possibility. So that was absolutely out of the question. And then that evening I was scheduled to sing. I'm a singer, guitar player, songwriter, and that evening I was scheduled to do a few of my songs on a radio station in Miami when I was, that's where I was living at the time. And I remember sitting in that lobby praying and meditating and asking for the strength to go beyond this thing called fear. Number one, I didn't want to sound lousy, and if I had fear, I wouldn't be able to sing. So my vanity actually caused me to really pray for the fear to be lifted so that I could get some clarity on the situation and to be guided, to be put with the right people in my life so that I would be guided to learn how I could heal myself. I knew immediately I was going to heal myself. And I also knew that this would be a moment in my life where I would be committed more than ever before. And at that very moment that I understood that, the fear just left. It was gone. And I was able to perform beautifully, played better than I'd ever played before, sang more beautifully than ever before. It was very deep. And I knew very strongly at that time that it shall pass. And one of the most important things I did just shortly after that, I really didn't talk about it. And I didn't tell my family, my mother and father. And I just felt that would be the best thing that I could do because I just knew I was going to heal it. I knew it. There was a confidence in me that was coming from a very deep place. And I really didn't think it was such a big deal. They made a really big deal about it in that they had the nurse calling me every day for a week after I had gotten the results, and they're screaming at me, you have to come into the hospital and you're going to die. And then I just basically didn't answer the phone. I didn't want to hear those words. I just knew that I had within me the power to know exactly what I needed to do to heal.
You know, Jill, a lot of the words that you just spoke really touched my heart on so many different levels. When you bring up these things about how you meditated, you looked within yourself, you have so much strength, clearly. What I'm concerned about is so many people listening to this, they don't have a history of meditation. They don't have, perhaps the word is the inclination or that aha moment right away or that feeling like you did, however you want to put it, that you could really get over this. What I'm really referring to is what's happening so often, certainly in the United States, if not throughout the modern world, women who are diagnosed with cancer, it's such a disempowering feeling, not to just hear the words, but perhaps deep inside of them, they were very disempowered early on in their development, as from childhood. And so here it is, you get some sort of catastrophic diagnosis, and it's, you know, it's the one thing that just breaks them all apart. They just give in, and then they just do whatever the doctors say because they have no foundational strength. You clearly sound like someone who has that, but I would hope that you can share with people, you know, what motivated you to heal yourself, maybe in you talking about your journey, your thoughts, it can help somebody else.
Well, I love life. That's number one. I really, really love life. There are times when I love the world, and there are times when I don't like the world. But loving life, loving the breath that gives me the life, yes, I had developed myself 2 years before the diagnosis. I had studied yoga and meditation in India. And this was, you know, kind of a, I've been a little ahead of my time and a little unusual for my generation because at 70, most of the people I meet, and I live in a retirement community in Florida, you know, most people, most of my peers here, I would say, you know, almost in some ways can't relate to me. So most of my friends and most of my clients are younger, are people in their 50s. Maybe 60s as well. But I just knew something very early on about being a woman, being proud of being a woman, feeling good about being a woman, and I wasn't going to let anybody take away anything that might alter my strength from within myself and hurt me in such a way that I wouldn't be able to have a child. And that was absolutely my first thought. No, I'm not having anything that's going to interfere with the possibility of having a child, even though I was 29, and in those days that was a little bit older. I feel that, and I felt back then, that I deserve to live a long and healthy life without ignorant people trying to convince me that I needed to be cut, burned, or chemicalized. I just knew that the body could heal itself. And I was driven to find the best possible situation. And what was interesting was at the same time that I got this diagnosis, I had just begun to take an introductory course in the theory of Oriental medicine. And the teacher, the man who was teaching the class, he had just come back from China, an American man. He was actually a professor of music composition. And he had a problem with Meniere's disease. And for someone who's a musician, you know, and his whole profession relies on his hearing, the Meniere's disease was a serious situation. And he decided not to do the things, or he had tried some Western medical protocols that weren't working, so he ended up going to China. And he didn't have a problem. He was healed very quickly using acupuncture, and he was very excited. And I decided, after I found out about this diagnosis, to ask Dr. Ralph Allendale, who eventually became one of the most famous acupuncturists, and he has even translated Chinese acupuncture texts into English, that eventually created the whole movement of Americans learning acupuncture. So he basically said to me, Jill, you need to change your diet. And he suggested that I call Michio Kushi, the man who brought macrobiotics to this country, and I did. Then he said, I have an acupuncturist who's just come to the South Florida area, and I recommend that you go to see him, and I did. And I had a number 5 on a Pap test. I have to say that they don't even have that number today. That was definitely conclusively malignant, and it was 2 particular Pap tests in a row. They wanted to make sure, or like they took one, they saw the 5, and then they asked me to come in and do another test. And so he also said, you need some exercise, you need to meditate, you need to do some yoga. And he helped me to create the protocol. And within 1 month of that diagnosis, I went back. I had to go to another doctor because I didn't want to ever see that man again, the first doctor, or his secretary, his office people. And so I took another test a month later, and it had gone from a 5 to a 3 on the Pap test, and number 1 is normal. So I felt in a very short time very excited and very hopeful that this is something that I would be able to clear up on my own. I wouldn't have to have any surgery, and it wouldn't affect the possibility of me eventually having a child. So it's very exciting to tell this story, Jonathan. I feel so good that I have the opportunity to share from my heart and from a very practical standpoint as well, that it is possible to improve your health, to improve your immune system so that your body can take over and heal itself. And I really believe that it's possible, especially if you're younger and you really dedicate yourself to loving yourself more than you've ever loved yourself before.
Jill, I just love everything that you're talking about. This is just another example of what, I mean, although I'm incredibly happy to hear everything that you're talking about, I just shake my head at the entire conventional medical world. And I say this with a lot of respect for that community. I want every single healthcare provider in the conventional medical world to wake up. They are fully aware of the idea that stress causes people to be sick. They understand that, but when it comes to a cancer diagnosis, they participate in instilling so much fear and anxiety into patients, not because they intentionally mean it, but because in all reality, they feel that way about cancer. They, you know, on some level, they're not sure about it. They're not confident about it. They're worried about their patients. They're scared about the disease. They don't understand it completely on their own. And, you know, it's not that I'm blaming them, but all of that doubt and fear, they are pouring it into their patients, and they're very aware of the idea that stress is a problem. They also know that depression and that giving up in life obviously is not a good thing. And what I'm challenging everyone in the medical world to do, especially those conventionally trained who are not happy with where they are right now, is to really try to make that shift. Start bringing things into their office that help people to feel better. Like you and I talked about your experience, which is for another show, with your holistic dentist. you know, this idea of feeling great when a patient walks into an office means not only what the healthcare provider says, but how the environment is, the other people that work there, the staff. I mean, listening to you being so afraid you don't want to go to that doctor and meet that secretary again, I totally understand it. You fired them and you go and get somebody else. My point is, there is so much more that can be done. Such wasted potential with highly intelligent people that, again, I just hope that these healthcare providers wake up really soon, because I really feel in the next few years they're going to lose so much business, they're going to be blindsided, and then that's going to be something that's really going to bother them quite a bit. But at least I've done everything I can in a small way to alert people out there that there is a better way, and Jill, you're certainly bringing that story across as well. I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Jill, I want to get into this, though, for people, because this is where it's really going to get even more interesting. How long did it take you to see some progress? Maybe after that first month, maybe you could walk us through this a little bit more about what your experience was from going from that 5 to that 3 score on the test. Now, you know, keep walking through it with us, please.
Well, it felt so good to see such quick progress. And I actually quit a job that was very stressful at the time. I was working in a halfway house for the mentally ill, where everybody was smoking around me, and all of them were on Thorazine. So I quit that job, I'd say within a few days from the time that I got the diagnosis, and I just got very serious. I did a lot of meditation, and I just told a couple of people who were really good friends, and they supported me, and you know, me wanting to do a natural protocol. And of course, I had this incredible opportunity to speak with Dr. Ralph Allen Dale, and he gave me, you know, the connections to the macrobiotics. I immediately started. I went to a certain health food store in Coconut Grove, Florida, where the man who owned the store was very active in the Macrobiotic Foundation. In fact, he eventually brought Michio Kushi and his wife Aveline to Miami, where I got to meet them and study with them personally, and that was a couple of years later. I think the diagnosis, it gave me the confidence, in a way, to go ahead, as soon as I saw from a 5 to a 3, to go ahead and actually leave the country. I decided that I wanted to go where I could relax, and I decided to go to South America because I had been studying with a teacher for a number of years who I'd met in India in terms of meditation, and he was going to be speaking in Caracas, and I just thought, well, this would be great. I could start off in Venezuela. I was traveling with a very good friend who was very supportive, and so we both just literally for about 5 months, we lived on $5 a day each. Which meant that I didn't need to work. I left my little Volkswagen in someone's backyard in Miami. I didn't have any rent to pay. I didn't, and there was so many expenses that, to be honest with you, that's the main thing that really helped me, was going into a culture where I could live so simply, close to the earth. I could hike. By the way, I didn't feel bad. I felt pretty good. The only thing that ever made me possibly feel bad was maybe, you know, that fear creeping in. What if, you know? But I don't think like that. I trained my mind a long time ago to go beyond the fear. And this was the big test, of course. This was a major. Most people will say to me, how could you not be fearful? Well, there is a place inside all of us where we can go to where there is a complete peace. And that peace eradicates fear. It's like they can't be in the same room together. It's like we can't have, you know, if a room is dark and you walk in with a flashlight, that light takes over the room. So you have light. And it's the same thing when you're feeling peace inside yourself very powerfully from that energy that's within, that very strong God consciousness that I knew I was had studied and I loved and I wanted to be with, that pretty much took away the fear. And I'm also a songwriter, and I wrote a song called Take All the Fear as a prayer, and I sang it all the time. So it's a training that I did with my own mind to tell my mind, shut up, you're not all there is. There is another place inside of myself where I could feel that peace. And so for the next 5 months, as I traveled around South America from Venezuela, a jungle in Venezuela, camping out in an abandoned coffee plantation, eating guava, and I had in my backpack some brown rice and sesame seeds, and then and seaweed, of course. I always traveled with seaweed. It was very light. It was easy to travel with. I knew I could always cook up a little meal, and then I had a little, you know, just a cooking pot that I would ask in the places that I went if I could use one burner on their stove, and I just took any vegetables that I found in the market and my rice and my seaweed and maybe some lentils or some other kind of, you know, easy, fast cooking beans. And I balanced my little macrobiotic diet, and that's how I lived for 5 months. And whenever there was a wonderful national park or a place where I could hike with my friend, Mark Bonaparte, still very good friends. He remembers probably as much or more than I do about the whole situation. We were also invited into people's homes. They loved us. They had beautiful backyards with gardens, and we would take chamomile, and we would put it in a big kind of a children's swimming pool. We would make this tea and water it down so the water wasn't too hot, and we'd sit around and have our feet in chamomile tea bath. Because we had been reading about a French herbalist who had believed strongly in foot baths. And we were finding hot springs wherever we went, and even hot mud, and packing the mud all over my body. I was always conscious of the area, the lower abdominal area, the whole reproductive system, and I was breathing into that part of my body. Anytime I was feeling any stress in my body, making sure that I could let go of it so it wouldn't remain. I was doing castor oil packs on the abdominal area, warm castor oil, which actually does stimulate the lymphatic glands that are underneath the small intestine, and that improves the immune system. And I was meditating every day, and I was thanking God for even the cancer. That's the big one. I was thanking God for the cancer.
Everything that you're talking about is what a high-performance athlete needs to understand. I mean, what on earth has this got to do with cancer? But it has everything to do with overcoming huge obstacles. It's not demonizing everything. It's not making it larger than you are and giving you that feeling that you have no choice but to give in and become a victim. Everything you're talking about is being busy doing things that take care of you. You're so busy doing that you don't give that space for your, as you said, your mind to go crazy, to play games on you, and to start making you feel like a victim, to start making you feel so depressed. Because in that depressed state or that fearful state, as you've already stated so well, you're not going to be able to function at all. And that's exactly what I have always learned in all my years of exercise physiology training, working with high-performance athletes, talking to kids who are aspiring to do something with their lives athletically. I tell them, if you're going to just be busy with all this fear and not focused on what you need to do, you're going to be debilitated. And that's exactly what you stayed away from by doing all of these great things, Jill. You truly are ahead of the curve, that's for sure. I'm curious, looking back now after all these years, would you do anything differently?
Never. No way. I did everything the way I was guided from within myself, from that higher power, putting the right people in front of me at the right time. And I had no fear. I mean, and it wasn't that easy traveling like 16 hours on chicken buses and stuff to maintain that $5 a day way of life, you know. But in those days, it was possible. And I, you know, just really, I wouldn't do it any other way. No, it was perfect.
Jill, there are a couple other things I really want to get into, not just so much about your trip to South America, but how this whole experience has affected you. And I want to draw some comparison, if you will, to so many other people out there who might be struggling with a cancer diagnosis. But before we get there, I just want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Jill, I know you talked a little bit about South America, about just sort of following that inner voice of yours. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I know a lot of people in their 60s and 70s, and I say this with a lot of respect, they sure don't sound like you at all. But so many people, Jill, we're affected by our environment, right? Like, you're surrounded by people that are younger than you. I'm sure that's affecting you in a very positive way. At least it sounds that way to me. So many people are affected by their environment. They see older people behaving a certain way. They know a friend who had cancer. They got radiation and chemo. I got to get radiation and chemo. Don't you see this as something that's really dangerous? Sort of following the pack is what I'm describing, without giving much thought to it yourself about what you really want to do. I see this not happening a lot. People are not thinking about what's best for them. Is that fair to say?
It's a sad commentary on our culture. And we haven't been trained to be individualists. And although there are some, but it's the schools don't really. I was a school teacher. And when I was a school teacher, this is really interesting, in the late 60s, in New York, in the suburb of New Rochelle and also Croton-on-Hudson, I was given the opportunity to basically explode the educational movement, literally throw the desks out of the classroom and ask the children what they felt they needed in order to come to school every day and enjoy the learning experience. And from that time, I would say like 1967, I shifted. I was trained by two amazing professors that had come from England who had the experience of teaching in bomb shelters in World War II. And they understood the power of love, the power that the children already have this intense interest in learning. And then it's really how it's presented with great respect to a child when they walk into that classroom, that there's always going to be a welcome feeling. So anyway, the children ended up designing a house, okay, where we had tables and chairs. We didn't have desks. We had a kitchen. We had a living room that was comfortable with a couch and nice pillows and carpet and stuff. And then we had little areas where they could bring their little critters that they found that collect, and we could have a science table, and then we could have a little theater thing happen with dress-up clothes, and then we could have, you know, a little math area where they could be counting and sorting and touching, and all very interactive, all not shutting them up, not making them sit in a chair the whole day, you know. We had recess, we had field trips, we had really amazing parents who came and helped and supported the opportunity for children to really grow. And this was my experience as a school teacher, and it changed my life. That was a big, big, big thing, because at that point in time, I knew if these children could be educated in this way, you know, that they would grow up to be thinkers, individualists. They would be living their dream, their own dream. And I was fortunate enough in my childhood. I had not so much from my parents, who were very conservative people, but from a housekeeper. We had a housekeeper for 10 years from the time I was 2 until the time I was 12. And there were, you know, the love was so powerful that I felt so confident in myself to be independent, where I could sit for hours just listening to music and singing along with it in my little room at the age of 4 or 5, and, you know, always play acting, but I never could really be myself in front of my own parents. But in front of this woman, I could be myself. And that's where I really, you know, I think that's the core of who I am as a person. So getting this diagnosis, bringing it back to that, was there was no way anybody was going to stop me from doing what I felt intuitively I needed to do. So here we're talking intuition. This is gut. My gut guided me.
I hope that this program provided some, in some small way, lots of inspiration for you as you're listening to Jill's story. I'm often reminded as I was listening to Jill of just understanding the value of making a decision, pulling the trigger, if you will, take action. That's what this is about. Being committed. We hear it over and over again, thanks to you, Jill. Things like not having a doubt in the world. What a great attitude. Just forge forward. Even if we make mistakes, so what? Just keep going forward, thinking about the future, living today, doing the best we can, and going about everything you're doing with a feeling of confidence. That's what this is all about. Whatever you decide to do in dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I hope that these traits are inside of you and that you feel this in anything that you decide. And Jill, I'm sure you would share those thoughts with me as well. And I just want to take a moment to thank you so much for spending time with us today.
You're welcome. I really appreciate it. All this information will actually also be in my memoir, which is coming out probably in the next 6 months to a year. And it will tell the story in great detail, and it'll be very interesting. And it's called Romancing Life, Healing Cancer Naturally.
And Jill, I know that you're doing some coaching as well. If people wanted to reach out to you, you're a real human being. I don't say that as a joke. I mean it genuinely. How can people reach out and get in touch with you?
They're welcome to call me on the phone, 561-638-8873. And they're welcome to take a look at my website, which you said was going to be put onto the end of the podcast. It's www.circle-of-life.net. And I am very approachable. And I talk to people sometimes 20 minutes to a half hour just to tell them a little bit about my program. And some people will come. I do juice fasting programs, 5, 7, 10 days. And I see miracles in a day or two. I just see a shift in people's attitude and how they feel about themselves, especially their commitment. And the best thing to do, really, is to prevent the diseases.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.